Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Take your Bibles and open them to Romans, the 10th chapter, Romans chapter 10. And while you're turning, I want you to also be in prayer for Brother Malcolm Prevett, who is preaching a revival this morning in Denison, Texas, which is above Dallas. And he is preaching up there, and Robert and his brothers and his sisters got in a van yesterday, and Malcolm does not know they're going to be there. Robert's not here today to do the announcement, so you're stuck with me. But anyway, they got in a van to go up there, and when he comes up to preach, they're going to be sitting on the front row, all his kids. And so I want you to be praying for Malcolm as he is preaching, and it's going to be a great, great, great meeting there. Now, we are in Romans chapter 10, and I would like to dismiss the children for children's church at this time. So, kids, you guys are kindergarten through the third grade. Y'all are dismissed to children's church. Follow along with me in your copy of God's Word as I read from my copy of God's Word. This is Romans 10, 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Then I want you to go down to verse 8. Look at verse 8. But what does it say? The Lord is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is, the word of faith which we preach. Two very, very important verses of Scripture we're about to read that are very familiar but very important. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Verse 12, for there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Verse 14, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, Lord, who has believed our report? Verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Now look down at verse 21. But to Israel he says, all day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. Now we have been digging into the book of Romans, this great book, and here is our main outline. We have an intro, and then it is grace needed. We looked at grace needed. This is the big picture. And then grace given. All of the book of Romans is about grace, the good news of grace. And so we have grace needed, grace given, and then grace practiced, and then grace to Israel. And chapters 9, 10, and 11 deal with this concept of grace given to Israel. Last week we talked about Israel's past election. They were elected by God. They were chosen. They are the chosen people. But now we look at Israel's present rejection. It's almost like in chapter 9 we see the sovereignty of Almighty God. In chapter 10 we see the human responsibility of Israel and the lack of the decision that they made to trust in Jesus Christ. The same lack of decision that most people make. They do not decide to follow Jesus Christ. And so it's like you have a tension there. You have, on the one hand, God's choosing of Israel, and then on the other hand, their rejection, human responsibility. No one will deny that there are many mysteries connected with divine sovereignty and human responsibility. Nowhere does God ask us to choose between these two truths, because they both come from God and are a part of God's plan. They do not compete, they cooperate. The fact that we cannot fully understand how they work does not deny the fact that they do work together. Charles Spurgeon was asked how he reconciles divine sovereignty and human responsibility, and Spurgeon replied, "I never try to reconcile friends." You see, these two concepts of divine sovereignty and human responsibility are friends in the sight of God, and God has established both of them. But today we come to the place of Israel and their present rejection, the fact that they have rejected the Lord, and the fact that because they have not accepted Christ, and those of the New Testament era did not accept Jesus Christ as the Messiah, what ended up happening, and then what can be done going forward in the future. So here's number one. Israel stumbled over faith. Now, I want to go backwards into chapter 9. I normally don't do that, but last week we didn't get there. We had to kind of quickly end. And so I want to go back to chapter 9, verses 30 through 33. Look at this passage of Scripture. This is Romans 9, 30. What shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness of faith. But Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Because they did not seek it by faith, but as it were, by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone. And that's why I use the phrase in the point. Israel stumbled over faith. Now, in verse 33 it says, "As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and rock of offense, and whoever believes on him will not be put to shame." So the question was being asked, how is it that the Gentiles can come to know the Lord when they didn't have the advantages of Israel? Israel had the advantage. Remember, they were adopted. Covenants were made with Israel. All of these things that God did towards the people of Israel. And how is it, the question is asked, that they could reject the Lord, and yet the Gentiles, many of them could come to know the Lord? And so he's saying the reason is that they stumbled over faith. Now, in that passage of Scripture, you see the word righteousness. You see it all over the place in the book of Romans. The word righteousness means a right standing with God. They tried, Israel tried works righteousness instead of faith righteousness. Now, in the Scripture that is quoted there in verse 33, the Apostle Paul combined two verses of Scripture, Isaiah 28:16, that says, "Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion a stone for a foundation, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not act hastily." He combined that Scripture along with Isaiah 8:14, which says this, "He will be as a sanctuary, but a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense to both the houses of Israel, as a trap and a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem." And so because of that, because Jesus was the one that they were to believe in, they stumbled over that precious stone. Jesus is the foundation of faith, and because of what Christ has done, we put our faith and trust in Him. And yet, at this time, in the New Testament period, the Jews rejected that. They stumbled over that. And ladies and gentlemen, it's God's desire that we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He says in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul says this, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So I want to say to you today, whether you are a Gentile or whether you are a Jew, I want to say to you today that if you stumble over Jesus, then you do not have that relationship with the Lord that will ultimately take you to heaven. Every person who gets to heaven is going to get there as a result of what Jesus has done on your behalf and your acceptance of that free gift. You putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Jesus is the foundation. He's the precious stone. And what happened in the end of chapter 9 here is that Paul points out that Israel stumbled over faith. They wanted to do it by law. So that brings us to number 2. Not only did they stumble over faith, but number 2, Israel insisted on the law. Now we come into our chapter. First of all, Paul prays for them. He says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved." Just on a side note, if you go through this chapter and look for the word saved, it's in there many, many times, the word saved. The word saved is a Bible word. There's nothing in the world wrong with using the word saved. I've been saved. I got saved as a teenager. When did you get saved? The scripture talks about being saved, and Paul says, "I'm praying for them." Prayer is an important part of the evangelistic process. It's a very important part of telling people about Jesus, praying for them. You say, well, if God is sovereign, He knows what's going to happen. Why do we pray? Well, listen to what C.S. Lewis said about this. He said, "When we are praying, we think the event is already decided. But we should still pray because the prayer may be one of the things that may be part of the answer." In other words, God uses prayer. Prayer is the nerve that runs from the heart of God to the people of God to do God's work in the world. And so Paul says, "My heart is for Israel." Those were his people. And if you remember in the beginning of chapter 9, he loved the people of Israel so much, he said that he would wish that he would be cut off from Christ so that his own kinsmen would come to know Jesus as their Savior and they would have a relationship with God. So, but Israel insisted on the law, the scripture says here. So Paul prays for them, and then he says in verse 2, "For I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge." Let me say something that is a basic principle that we all need to think about in our own journey of faith. Sincerity is not the answer alone. Israel had zeal. They had a passion for God. As a matter of fact, the way that was demonstrated is the God of the Old Testament was the only God they worshiped. They had a zeal for God. But the Bible says it was not according to knowledge. They didn't understand that a part of God's plan was to send the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ, and they should put their faith and trust in Him. You see, they actually wanted to improve on God's law. So they did not submit to God's righteousness. Look at verse 3. "For they being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own." That's what they did. They were proud of their own righteousness. Not only did they take the laws that God had given them, they added to the laws. They interpreted the laws with more laws. And they also felt as if they had achieved at a higher level than other people. This is what we find in the scripture. And so they added laws. They did not submit to God's righteousness. At the end of verse 3, of Romans 10, it says, "And seeking to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God." So they were proud and self-righteous. Now, folks, we know people like that, don't we? We know people that feel like, you know, they don't need Jesus. Robert Murray McShane was passing out tracts one day and handed one to a well-dressed lady. She gave him a haughty look and she said, "Sir, you must not know who I am." And in his kind way, McShane replied, "Madam, there is coming a day of judgment, and on that day it will not make any difference who you are." Sometimes in our pride, we don't want to receive and submit ourselves to what the Lord has called us to do, to repent of our sins and put our faith in Jesus. That is what was happening with Israel in the time that Romans was written. They rejected the message of righteousness. They were proud in their own way. And they misunderstood their own law. Now, this is interesting. By the way, do you know that even in the Old Testament, it's very easy, let me just say this, it's very easy for us to believe that a person was saved by the law in the Old Testament, and then in the New Testament, everything changed, and we are now saved by faith in Jesus. Oh, no. Everyone was always saved by believing God. And somehow we have convinced ourselves that when God gave the law, that that was the measurement. No. Let me say this. He points out in our passage in verses 4 and following, 4 through 10 actually, that they misunderstood their own law. Paul quotes all these different Old Testament passages to point out that God's word is near them, and he gives a clear presentation of what it means to believe. Look at verse 4. "For Christ is the end of the law of righteousness." Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Now, he's talking about Israel. Now, look at this, verse 5. "For Moses writes about the righteousness which is of the law. The man who does these things shall live by them." That's Leviticus. Then verse 6, "But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way." These are Old Testament passages. "Do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven?" That's from Deuteronomy. In other words, who's going to go up in their own power and bring Christ down? It says, that is, to bring Christ down from above. "Or who will descend into the abyss?" That is, by their own works, go down and bring Christ up from the dead. Verse 8, "But what does it say?" And this is Deuteronomy. "The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart." That is the word of faith which we preach. In other words, this word of faith, not obeying laws. The Bible teaches this clearly. Laws were made like a schoolmaster, like a referee to tell us when we're out of bounds. You know, you play ball. These guys here, Benny and Mark, they you know, we used to play one-on-one all the time and 21 everything, and I beat them up and down the court. I mean, it was amazing. No, I can say that because I'm up here and they can't respond. Well, y'all better hush now. But anyway, but you know, when you have a referee, they say, "Hey, you're out of bounds." They blow the whistle. You're out of bounds. Do you know that those laws or those rules of an athletic contest are the ones that show you've gotten out of bounds, see? Well, in the same way, the Bible makes it clear that God's law was a schoolmaster to tell us we needed grace. Can I tell you this? If all your life you're just working to impress God, you say, "Oh, if I could just give a little bit more money. Oh, if I could just be down at the church for another hour a week. Oh, if I could just do this, witness to a few more people, God will be pleased with me." Can I tell you this? You'll never measure up in that way. You'll never work enough to gain approval with God. As a matter of fact, the Old Testament says this, "Our righteousness is like filthy rags to God." You know what it's going to take, folks? It's going to take this, realizing I can't measure up. The only way that I can know Jesus, the only way I can go to heaven, the only way I can have a relationship with God is to humbly come before him and say, "Lord, I can't measure up. I don't measure up. I need your grace." And he's saying this in verse 8. But what does it say? "The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Hey, that's from Deuteronomy. That's from Deuteronomy. And then it says this, and it gives this great summation of what it means to give your life to Jesus. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It affects the outside. That's your confession. That's on the outside. But it affects the inside. So you believe on Christ and confess it on the outside, but you also, it comes from the heart. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, that's on the outside, and believe in your heart, that's on the inside, that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So, I want you to know he gives a clear presentation of what it means to believe. To confess on the outside and to believe in your heart that God hath raised him from the dead and you will be saved. Now, I want you to notice something. Jesus is presented, listen, as the Lord Jesus. Look at that scripture. But if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Jesus is always presented as the Lord. He's the Lord. By the way, he's the Lord whether I believe it or not. By the way, he's the Lord whether you believe it or not. When we come to Christ, we come to him as Lord. He is going to take over the controls of our life. It's kind of like this. You've been driving the car of your life. Imagine your life like an automobile. You're driving the car of your life, and boy, you're going where you want to go. You're steering where you want to go. You say, oh man, it's Friday night. I want to go over here. And so you make a right-hand turn. You go over here. And then you say, hey, I'd like to go a little faster. Like my Nova, Mark, Benny. Had a 73 Nova. Candy apple red. Leaked oil like crazy. But anyway. But... you know, you could say, hey, I want to put some gas on right here. Why? Because you're in control. You're in the driver's seat. Listen, giving your life to Christ is like you stopping your car, putting it in park, opening the door, getting out and saying, Jesus, I have been driving this car, the car of my life, long enough because everywhere I go is disaster. And right now, and you walk around the front of your car and you sit in the driver's seat and you say, Jesus, I want you to drive. Would you drive the car of my life? That's letting Christ be the Lord of your life. That way you get up every morning, you say, Lord, it's not necessarily what I want to do. What do you want me to do today, Lord? What is it you want me to do today? And so Jesus is always presented as Lord. So we see here, we see that Israel was rejecting the word of faith. They insisted on the law. They stumbled over faith. They insisted on the law. Number three, Israel rejected the remedy. The remedy for this in verses 14 and following. Let me go ahead and read verses 11 and following and we'll pick up. Because he says here, quoting some more verses of scripture, in verse 11, for the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. See, he's talking about belief. Verse 12, for there is no distinction between Jew or Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. And then he's quoting, look at verse 13. I want you to see this. In verse 13, that is Joel from the Old Testament. These are not New Testament passages. This is the Old Testament. It says, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So folks, it's always been believing by faith in the promises of God. That's how a person is saved. And Paul is saying that that is what they rejected. They insisted on the law, but then they rejected the remedy. What is the remedy? Look at this. Verse 14. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. They rejected the remedy. Verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? Verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. For a person to come to know Christ, they have to be told about the gospel. Yes, it has to be lived out, but ladies and gentlemen, ultimately somebody has to talk about it. Tonight we're ordaining a young man who wants to talk about it. He wants to get the message out that Jesus can change your life and that a relationship with God is the most wonderful thing could ever happen in your life. He wants to be an equipper of those in the church of the Lord to help them share the gospel and help them disciple people. And this is exactly what he's talking about. And the Lord gave Israel those preachers, and yet they rejected. Verse 18, but I say, have they not heard? Yes, indeed, they have heard. Their sound has gone out. This is verse 18. Their sound has gone out to all the earth and their words to the ends of the world. But I say, did Israel not know? First Moses said, I will provoke you to jealousy by those who are not a nation, and I will move you to anger by a foolish nation. Now what that is in that passage is that passage is talking about the Gentiles coming to know the Lord. It went to the Gentiles. The gospel, the Lord's intent was always to get the gospel to the Gentiles. He wanted to use Israel to get the gospel to the Gentiles. He said to Abraham, in you, talking about your seed, the Jewish people, in you shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. So that was always his intent. But the Lord tried to provoke Israel to jealousy a little bit by allowing the Gentiles to be saved. That's what he's talking about in this passage in verses 19 and 20. He says, I will provoke you to jealousy by those who are not a nation. I will move you to anger by a foolish nation. Verse 20, but Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those who did not seek me, the Gentiles. Israel had all these advantages. They had the covenants. They were adopted. They were given the law. They were given the presence of God. We talked about that last week. And yet, the scripture says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I was made manifest to those who did not ask for me. And so, Israel insisted on the law and they rejected the remedy. But God still yearns for the Jews to be saved. He still yearns for Israel to be saved. Because look at verse 21. But to Israel he says, all day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. And so here you have a picture of Israel's present rejection. Rejected because they did not listen to the remedy. And yet here's the truth of it, ladies and gentlemen. The Lord stretches out his hands to us as well. He stretched out his hand to me as a teenage boy in a youth camp, and I heard the gospel and I accepted Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. He stretches out and yearns for you to know the Lord Jesus Christ. What about you? Have you given your heart and life to the Lord? I'd like for us to bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.